call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Sellers.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
And Alderman Stevenson.
Please rise during the day of pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And first item. No. You can call me today. He asked to be called from Israel. First item on the agenda is the citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
John Mickley, 7809 Stonebrook Court, Franklin, Wisconsin. I'm just here to speak on behalf of the 51st Street Trail as a citizen and answer questions as a member of the Trails Committee, if need be. Yes, you'll be on.
Did you rehearse that?
That is all.
All right, thank you. And who else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Good evening. Kirby Walton, HR35 Western Trail Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. Earlier this year, I did ask and received the state C forms that the state submits to the state of Wisconsin on an annual basis. This is financial information required to provide the state about how they spend taxpayers' money. I put it all together for the years 2001-2010. I have broken it out according to operating and capital budgets as well as debt, and into the six categories that the state of Wisconsin uses to identify how municipalities is spending money. I guess I think it's useful. It helps me understand how the municipality has spent its money over the years. I have included a graph on here that shows what a 3% growth would look like based upon expenditures from 2001. I've also included or calculated, I should say, a metric that I think works pretty good for trying to compare municipalities to. It's not based upon taxes, it's based upon expenditures per developed parcel. That's in there as well. If you would like to see the information for Greenfield and Oak Creek, I have done that as well. I can bring it here or bring it to the Finance Committee. But I want to bring this to the Common Council because in my viewpoint, I see the Common Council as the chief executive body for the City of Franklin. It's the Common Council that decides what the budget's going to be. They decide policy. They decide whether citizens are going to be bound by debt. And so I'm hoping we will be able to use this information to maybe come up with some different ideas about how to spend the money or how it should be. How you can explain to the citizens how you're spending money in the next budget. So the other thing, too, is I am on the Trails Committee as well. I guess I was probably the first one to say, well, maybe we should extend the sidewalk on the east side. As a former city engineer, I always did try and avoid ending sidewalks mid-block. To me, it renders them pretty much useless, and it's dangerous just to have people walk along the sidewalk and then walk along the edge of the road. So no other competing alternatives available. I hope that Council would do what they feel is best for the citizens now and in the future. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? If not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to announcements. You should have in your packet a proclamation regarding Eagle Scout James Edward Conkle. I did attend his Eagle Scout ceremony. It's very nice, along with Representative Stone, Supervisor Borkowski, and Senator Lozick. And so it's in there for informational purposes. He unfortunately could not be with us. He went back to school. You now have before you the minutes of January 10th, 2012.
So moved.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I have a number of letters, a letter from the Root Pike Watershed Initiative Network. Just putting it on basically for your information so that you know that these items are out there. And also for the benefit of the public, letter from Edward Bache, Milwaukee County Department of Public Works, Architecture Engineering. Public hearing, a notice on airport improvements projects at General Mitchell International Airport. In the past, these types of meetings may have been dull and boring, but there's been quite a bit of discussion regarding the future of the airport. I know that Chairman Holloway had brought up some items regarding the use or reuse of the 440th. And we are members of the Aerotropolis Corporation, so start bringing more and more of this to your attention because things could rapidly develop down there. All of you have seen the master plan for the airport? The airport director was kind enough to host a meeting with for the mayors and village presidents about 2 years ago where he unveiled the plans. And there is a parallel runway that's supposed to go right through where the 440th is. In fact, you might remember that he took down St. Stephen's Church because of that. Let's see, a letter from Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission submitting the 2010 annual report. I believe the entire report is available in the clerk's office for viewing. Questions or comments? If not, turn to item G1, recap from the Civic Celebrations Commission. And we have the best chairman of any Civic Celebrations Committee in the world with us tonight. Hi, Bob.
Okay, we gave you the numbers there. Basically, we added a little under 5,000 to our reserves this year. Look at next year, it'll be a little tougher because of the two-day festival. All our fixed costs are the same, the tents, the parade, the fireworks. So the two-day festivals are always a lot tougher, but we're going to try to keep it as tight as we can. this is my request for spending for 2012. There's one mistake on there. I spelled my own name wrong.
All right, you're fired.
The other thing on there is there's been concern about the bleachers raised by the police department, about the kids playing on them after the parade, before the parade. That's something I wanted input from the council, what they thought we should do about it. The police department would be, or at least some of the officers, I haven't spoken to the chief yet. They would like to see the bleachers go away, but a lot of people sit on them, so... I don't know if you guys have any input on that.
Alderman Olson?
Yeah, we need the bleachers there. And, you know, it seems we spend a lot of time chasing people out of their park from parking cars. So, okay, so you spend a couple more hours chasing kids off the bleachers. Or let them play there. Keep them bleachers.
Alderman Solomon?
I'd just like to say if the bleachers disappear, that parade that's going to be all the way down to 76th Street. With the people, I mean, right now it's all the way over to the park. We were by the pond east of the fire station this last year. There were kids there. So, I mean, it's to take all of those seats away would make it more difficult.
So I had mentioned to Bob, he stopped in the office, was it this week or last week?
I don't remember. Yeah,
and we talked about it, and I said that it's one of those things, it's a tradition, but there's a lot of happy people when we pass the bleachers. And there's also a lot of elderly people that use those bleachers, and they come back year after year after year, so... I know there's a little bit of an expense, and I know that we may have one or two police officers concerned about it, but, you know, it seems like every time I turn over and look in the bleachers when I'm passing out the candy or whatever, there's Fred Kleiman sitting on one of the bleachers waving, right?
So. You mean when Carol passes up?
When Carol passes up, yeah, that's right.
John, from a risk management perspective, they fall within our normal scope of operations, and together right, and we go specific negligence involved with the building. It's within our ability to do it, covered by our policy and the municipal liability protections of state law. We go risk management perspective for operations.
Alderman Olson.
Bob, I don't want to cause you any more work, but I'm sure we can find some plastic smoke fence just to run it around after the parade we got there.
Okay, I'm not sure if it's to... Because they set them up the day before, too.
So. I don't know what the issue is, but
I've never seen it myself. The officers told me about it this year. I was going to look at it closer to see what they're actually talking about, how many kids are hanging out on the bleachers. Or we haven't signed it in the past saying, you know, stay off the bleachers when the parade's not going on. Maybe we could do some of that. Or this is right on the edge of the road where the cars are going by at 45 miles, 50 miles an hour, so.
So are you requesting action from the council?
I'll just share advice on what to do about it. Or you guys want to tell us to do the bleachers, we'll do the bleachers.
I'll make the motion to approve the request for authority for the
council. Oh, I got an extra spelling. Thank you. I did expect to get into Jody on that.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Bob, and
all right.
Thank all the volunteers for the excellent job you do.
Thank you. Has it been your guys' consensus that we go with the bleachers still, if I can tell?
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you.
Franklin Senior Citizens Travel Program update to 2011 year end. Shirley's not here.
Shirley is not anticipated to be here today, but she said this as previously directed.
Move the place on file with our thanks to Shirley.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 3, South 27th Street Corridor Streetscape Plan and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. U.S. Highway 241 Reconstruction Project. I placed this on the agenda after we had some lively discussion at the Plan Commission. And I did so because the Department of Transportation is looking for some answers coming down the road, so to speak, in the near future. I know there's a lot of more work for the Forward Franklin Committee and others to be working on this. But I wanted to bring it to the attention of the council as soon as possible for your review. As you can see in the your packet, the members of the Plan Commission had some concerns regarding many of the things that had been contained in the former packets being eliminated. And so I want to bring that to your attention. Also, that there was a very, very good meeting of the two communities I attended. Everyone, I would say, got along famously. A lot of good give and take in both communities. Some fairly hefty duty decisions were made, or recommendations. And I think the next step now is to either call for, well, once you have the ability of looking at this and making some decisions, the sooner we call for a joint common council meeting between the two communities and maybe the Plan Commission, the better. I put this on here because we, as all of us are aware, of the passing of Mayor Bolander, and so that we want to get this to the attention of Oak Creek as soon as we can, but also we understand that they're in the election cycle over there. The DOT, Jack, is looking at, is it late February for some answers?
Just on the right of way, and I guess it appears to me that most of what the city is planning to do does not affect right of way. So that's the only thing the state wants to finalize the right of way plat in February of this year. My experience is once the right-of-way plat is finalized, going through the whole approval process, it's like pulling nails to get them to change anything. But some of the screening that we're looking at, or the committee was looking at, like for Kentucky Fried Chicken, just isn't practical. There's no room to
put a screen in there, and if he did, he'd probably take the screen off the store. So, and that's about the only thing that, that we really get into in the way. So I think we've got plenty of time if there's no right-of-way question. And that's the only thing the state's saying. If you got anything in right-of-way, let us know, because we're going to start finalizing the right-of-way. And about the only place they're really going to take right-of-way is at the intersection. At the intersections of College, at the intersection of Riverwood Drive, of Rawson. I don't think there's anything at Minnesota. I'm not sure if there's anything at Northwestern Mutual Drive. But then Drexel Avenue.
Just a note in the write-up that you see that page 28 talks about on March 18th, 2009, after the two communities, the last meeting between the two communities, cost per mile was between $1,440,000 for $1.65 million. And after all of the various decisions by the DOT, and I realize that no decision's actually been made on this, but the cost per mile is down to $1.18 million. Some hefty sums of dollars. And then on page 32 in your spreadsheet, you'll notice that many of these costs, the elements, when you look over at local cost share, it's 100%, 100%, 100%. It's one at 20% for special pavement, then it goes 100%, 100%. Roundabouts is no. Those are gone. Public art roundabout, maybe. I think that the DOT is really leaning towards not putting things in the median unless they're breakaway. However, if you're going to, if the two councils want things in there, then they probably need to reserve it or put forward an overlay pattern, an umbrella design for the entire corridor. So, but nonetheless, I mean, we all knew that this was coming. And one of the speakers tonight talked about costs and spending. Overall estimated total cost is one figure is $8,625,000 and the other is $9,886,000. You know, we did Northwestern Mutual probably went in the spending column, but it was $5 million. That was without all of the infrastructure improvements that went into play. Many other communities don't have those types of expenditures or have not made those types of expenditures. Same is also true with Wheaton Franciscan, and then expenses that are attributable to improvements like the Chops of Windham Village and other places. So with that, there are three that wanted to speak, Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon, and Alderman Wilhelm.
Thank you. I listened carefully to the Plan Commission tape. I was unable to attend that meeting. Actually, I listened to both items that I had some background in. I want to make some comments on the 27th Street. I heard some comments that this is a one-size-fits-all program. And frankly, that shocked me.
I think it was just the opposite.
My comments are in order that they were, but it's important that everybody recognize that this has been going on since 2005. Now we have a new regime in charge now, so you know the clock starts over again. But you know, I heard about waterfalls and cobblestone streets, and I thought, where the heck did this come from? I've heard people say that it's an unrealistic plan. I heard people say it's too much money. I see in the workup that the newest member of the committee, who arguably has never been to a 27th Street meeting, had suggested cuts. And that's okay if you know the basis for which the expenditure is listed. So I'll go with Mr. Mayor to the hot top pedestrian lights. If you understand the purpose of the development of 27th Street, you would understand immediately that the idea was to focus the light for the roadway on the roadway to minimize spill and provide a brighter illuminated roadway. And if you want to control the light spill, you then have to offer some pedestrian lighting that is well focused on the sidewalks, that doesn't spill into the properties. When you do that, you now have the ability to control the proposed lighting for the buildings and landscapes of the developed parcels around you. So to walk in and say, we're not going to do pedestrian lighting, makes very little sense unless you want to immediately lower the standards of the developments. And, frankly, the safety of the roads. Now, I hear lots of comments about the lights, and it seems to me that that's become a comment on who selected the lights rather than the purpose of the lights. I think we're going to get past that. So there was a comment about sidewalks and the multi-use path and how it's going to impact, and it's probably not feasible because of the wetlands at NML or the wetlands around Wheaton. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all been looked at. We paid a consultant on purpose to look at this stuff. The plan that we have in front of us is an excellent plan, and that's all been taken into account. You know, I heard a waterfall man. Whoa. But the comment that I heard from one plan commissioner, I appreciated greatly. It was Mr. Haley, who said, if you're going to do it right. $200,000 for pedestrian and street lighting over the span of 30 years is nothing. And it gets you a quality development that, as when we started this, was supposed to be a destination, not just another street. We're rapidly turning this into another street. You know, we could replace this with Mount Road. We didn't want to do that. The rain gardens and the bioswales and the terraces, frankly, were put forward by me for a couple of reasons. One is we wanted to maximize the amount of developable acreage in the zone. It doesn't do us any good to have a nice, beautiful street and then the DOT take acres upon acres for stormwater management. So you minimize that by using the available land, the rain gardens, and the terraces, and in the medians. So the fact that we don't get credit for them, I think is a shame. I understand why. I know that's not fair. I rarely understand what the DOT says or the decisions they make. But that ought to stay in. And I remind the council that most of the decisions that have been made on the 27th Street corridor have been direct results of adverse action by the DOT. And we're at constant cross purposes with DOT. They want that road to be fast as possible, when as an economic development tool, we want it to be as slow as possible. So everything south of Minnesota has turned into a nightmare. The DOT has, for the last 5 years, had a difficult time making decisions. Jack will tell you, one day we can do whatever we want in the medians, provided we're 20 feet off. No problem. We got some nice signage. Looks good. We'll put some trees there. Next day, they come back with a decision that says, well, you can have all of that, but you've got to put a 2-foot curb all the way around the median. By the way, at our expense. Then the next time they come back and say, no, you can't do anything at all. So to say that this hasn't been worked on for a long time and that the details haven't been looked into is a little silly. And that goes right along with utility easement. Jack will tell you, we worked long and hard on that because the community that has the utilities on is the city of Franklin. And we have to provide the easements underneath those utilities. It takes out of our developable acreage. Remember, the goal here is development. I'm not worried about the cost right now. It's what's the goal at the end of the day? Development. So we need to bury those lines, period. And we need to minimize the easements as much as we possibly can. So I guess that's my point on this. You know, it just seems to me that we're undereducated when we go to make these decisions. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor. And with that, I'm going to ask.
Alderman Solomon. For the record, Alderman Wilson is moved into the Lions. Alderman Solomon.
Bear with me in my voice tonight. I have a bad cold. Grange Avenue east of 76th Street is a prime example of how these rain gardens can work. And when they rebuilt the road, they didn't put in a stormwater management pond because they've got all rain gardens there. It works. It works. And to take as an example, let's take Ryan Road. No rain gardens. Median's what? 3 feet wide? 4 feet maybe? No room for rain gardens or terraced areas. But they had to put in a huge stormwater management pond in front of Jack's Church. Cost them over $1 million. There's another one farther east. They're using our pond in the business park farther west. Those are huge parcels of property that aren't going to have any buildings on them, folks. You either put the rain gardens in and the terraces in or kiss your land goodbye. We'd be looking at Oak Creek's going to be the only community on this 27th Street corridor that's going to gain in the development of the land if we don't be careful here. We got the utility easements. We got stormwater management ponds if they take out the rain gardens. We might as well get out of the 27th Street corridor. Because we aren't going to benefit from it at all. We're the ones that got the mom and pop hotels and stuff down there. If you're going to have, if you can't do this, they're not going to be redeveloped and tore down and big new facilities put up. I think there needs to be cohesiveness between both planning commissions and both common councils. The sooner the better.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I think they both said everything that I would have said. I agree that the statements from the Plan Commission are valid and there's legitimate concerns there. I think the education carried through on why those were made, as Alderman Olson pointed out, the comments made by Alderman Solomon that there needs to be a decision made, and is Oak Creek really interested in this? If they've got the Delphi, are we left out? And trying to develop this all on our own, or should we concentrate our efforts in the interior of the city where more of the tax base will be, and maybe leave the mom and pops there to make use of what they can with their own properties until the time comes when someone develops that property? I think 27th Street's going to develop anyway. It's still a matter of, do we want to direct it or not? How do we want it to go? That's probably a question that we need to come to a decision on. But I did wonder about the stormwater credits, and maybe I heard this before, Mr. Bennett. Is there a push for change for the stormwater credits that we could be doing? Because this isn't unusual for them not to count these for credits for stormwater.
Yes, I understand that the first of all that. They can't put wet basins in, so they can't do any water quality with the stormwater basins they're putting in, because the airport and the police are not allowed to put wet basins in. So they are going to put some biosolids in the roads. And you'll have to get 40% instead of 80% reduction in particulate. But it's my understanding, because they really won't be maintaining the bioswales either in the terrace area or in the median, therefore they will not count that for stormwater management. In mean, they don't have any objection if the city wants to put that in. The city has to maintain it. But since the city is going to maintain it and the state's not, they're concerned that in the future, the city may decide that they don't want to maintain that anymore and fill that in and sod it, and they then they don't have any water quality. But that was sort of primarily the water quality.
Well, it's a paper contract that says if they fill it, then they've got to do something else. I mean, that's...
But, I mean, that's their logic. So they're the ones that came and said, we won't give any credit for either the median or the terrace areas for stormwater management. And they are going to, I think what they're putting in the basins probably aren't too bad, because they're going to put the one basin in Franklin that's going to be next to Home Depot, in the back of Home Depot, basically extending the basin or adjacent to the basin they already have, and then we're going to put a bioswale, so the water getting to the basin will go through a bioswale, which they feel will get there for. But they're the ones that said that they won't count the bioswales and the terraces.
And then on the, you talked about the right-of-way on Rawson Avenue. What's going to happen with Dr. Shugtai's office building, the parking lot, that will be taken from the right-of-way from the terminal?
They're going to take the station on the corner. I don't think they're taking anything else. So.
Well, last time I looked at the plans, it came all the way down to half of this parking lot. Will you get back with me on the answer, Nick?
We got a set of six.
Okay. I think we should move to direct staff to schedule a joint meeting with Merrill input, including both plan commissions.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Under discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Alderman Taylor. I'm trying to remember your last.
That's right. One moment, I'm going to step back out there. I'm going to talk about the item. I want you to get up and get comfortable because I'm going to start talking. I'm glad, thank you, Your Honor. I'm glad that some are aware that there about regime changes, I guess, is the way it was put. In 2008, I would say there was one. I would say in 2012, across the street, there's going to be one. So things do happen when it comes to elections, and everybody may have this grandiose plan of how it's going to be, but when elections take place and people are defeated, when they're incumbents and the things that were going to be one way are no longer that way. So I'm going to finally appreciate that some are aware of that. Now, I would say after we created the Fort Franco Committee, the mayor, myself, city attorney, city engineer, planning, director of administration, Linda Ryan from the CDA, have been meeting to try to basically get our arms, wrap our arms around what was going on 27th Street, because frankly, before that, I had no clue. For probably the last 2 years, I had no clue. So we kind of got our arms wrapped around it. We set up a meeting with Oak Creek. We had their representatives, and we had HNTB come in and kind of give us an update. So that's kind of where we were at that meeting. And we started talking about what we wanted to spend money on as just a recommending kind of body of both sides of the road, and that's where we are, I guess, today. So I understand that there are some concerns of some of my colleagues up here. You know, I agree 100% about burying the lines. Linda Ryan has been 100% in agreement of that all along. That is an extremely large cost to the city of Franklin. One thing that I'll note, and I think the mayor will agree to me, agree with me 100%. How many years, Tom, have you been asking for a joint agreement between two communities?
It's got to be four or five.
As long as I've been here, we still don't have that. Okay, and that's a problem because we do have a lot of stuff on our side of the road that at some point is going to have to be moved or things be buried, and we don't have that now. And so having a joint meeting is probably a good thing. You do have an election coming up, so you're going to have maybe another change in administration, so we can't get too excited between now and April, because we may not be dealing with the same people on the other side of the road. But I think the members from the Franklin side of the street that were at that meeting with the Oak Creek members came to a consensus on what we can afford, what is practical, because what we once thought could happen you know, the world changed. We know that. The economy is not what it once was. We don't have people banging on our doors like it was before. So what was initially put in that DVD may not come to fruition. So do we want to be, you know, throwing out money when the return on investment's not going to be there? So I think what we try to do is get to a point where we can have this meeting with Oak Creek and have this discussion. So I don't think, at least from, I wasn't at the Planning Commission, didn't listen to the minutes of the of that meeting. So I just based on a paragraph right up in the council packet, I'm not aware of all the discussion, but I think it's a good idea to have both sides get together. But I don't think we should jump to conclusions that, you know, anything we tried to do with Linda Ryan, myself, and staff was at all trying to set policy, because that's this could be this body. Your Honor?
Yeah, just to I guess reinforce what you just said, I have been saying for a couple of years at least, it was a couple of years ago where Mayor Bolander showed up at a meeting here and we took the microphone and we talked about all of this. And I just wanted to wrap my arms around it so that I knew what it is that we're talking about in costs, because as I said all along, I said there's going to come a day where the DOT is going to need some answers. So at least what the, I thought, you know, the meeting between the two communities really could not have gone better as far as cooperation between the two communities. But these are recommendations, and these are recommendations based on former recommendations after joint meetings. No dollars have in fact been spent. No decisions by the policymakers have been made regarding the expenditure of dollars. Is that correct, everybody, looking at the staff? So that's some good news. I also wanted to tell you that we're not talking about, for the moment, 6 miles of corridor. Decisions that need to be made regarding the stretch of road between College and Drexel, a little bit past. So that still leaves about, 4.5 miles of corridor. Steve Olson brought up one size fit all. Actually, what I was saying at the Planning Commission was just the opposite, and I think I said this at the meetings with the between the two communities, and that's that one size does not fit all, and maybe instead of trying to fit everything into one big box, with everything has to go that way, maybe we need to start looking at this more like neighborhoods, and that there's a very big difference between the area between College and Rawson, and then there's another difference between Rawson and Drexel, and then you start seeing even bigger differences. You get into residential development, you get into the mom and pop hotels, etc. And then you get down by Staybridge Suites and that whole area around Ryan Road and 27th Street. I think we need to look at those as neighborhoods. And when you get down towards Wheaton Franciscan, that takes on a life of its own. And one size should not fit all. There should be independent decisions on each of those. That's my opinion. And then when you get to Elm Road, Elm Road, where the trucking terminals are, and the AAA Environmental Services and things like that, waste management. We need to visualize a new interchange and a new road coming in there. That's going to change everything down there. And the type of business that may go there may be very different than the type of business that goes, let's say, where the Gordon Foods is going. So I'm more than a bit happy that the 27th Street corridor, or the 27th Street Steering Committee, two committees got together and have at least put together a list so that the policymakers can start to make some intelligent decisions. And if Jack gets some calls from the DOT saying that they need some answers, you know, we won't be in a crisis mode. You'll have some recommendations from both committees in front of you. So. Is there a lot more discussion on this subject? Well, yeah, you can tell from the notes from the Plan Commission and the recommendations from the Plan Commissioners that they were, Kevin Haley and John Miklik and others were really sort of taken back by the cuts that the DOT has made. Jack's literally been pulling his hair out in the last couple of years with the trying to get answers from the DOT on just a whole host of issues, right?
Well,
just,
we get answers, they keep changing.
Yeah, it keeps changing and keeps cutting. So, so again, I'm happy that we got the council. This council now has something solid in front of them to work off.
Alderman Solomon.
Just one last thing before we wrap this up. We're going to have to redo TIF district to pay for this. And that's going to take some time. That isn't going to happen overnight. It took us quite a while to put forth the dollars and the numbers for the two existing TIF districts. But you're not going to pay for this just out of those two districts. So somebody's going to have to sit down and put together additional area for development that's going to pay for these streetscape scenarios. That needs to be done. And like I said, that doesn't happen overnight. So he needs an answer in 2 months. Somebody better start working on it.
Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Then Alderman Schmidt.
Real quick, two things. One, the one size fits all. I mean, what you said is exactly the way you laid it out, that it's, that was not that it would change probably as it goes down the corridor. So that's how you mentioned it in both when we just met with staff, but also with both committees. So just once again for clarification, you never said one size fits all. And secondly, I think the point of why we started doing this in the summer is because it was dormant. There was nothing being discussed. And I think the mayor, myself, and others, we just said, let's try to figure out where exactly we are to bring at least something before this body, which is what we have here. Now, from this point on, we can discuss. We can get the input that we were not getting in anyway because nothing was being discussed, not at least at the council level, not really with besides maybe the assistant city attorney. I'm not sure exactly how many times the old 27th Street Steering Committee was meeting. So I think it was our intention just to get where we are today and then move forward from there.
Alderman Schmidt?
I can concur that definitely one size does not fit all, and it's good to see that the two communities are moving towards some kind of consolidated efforts on this. The one thing that I'm glad to see is that the DOT continues to reject the ideas of the roundabouts. I occasionally still get questions about that. Are they going to put a roundabout in there? So even though it may be a dead issue, it's not. It still resonates with some of the residents. So hopefully there'll be some consensus on keeping that in effect that will not be roundabouts.
Any other comments or questions? I think we passed the motion we needed to pass, and so I'll move to the next item. That's item G4, recommendation of Franklin Trails Committee for approval of South 51st Street Trail sidewalk locations as currently proposed. Alderman Wilhelm?
I'll move approval of the South 51st Street Trail and walkway locations north of Rawson Avenue and the pedestrian access as presented and defined as pedestrian access extending to West Princeton on the west side to West Xavier Drive on the east.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
Does the maker of the motion want to include in the motion crosswalks?
Oh, yeah, yes, I would. Thank you for reminding me. I would also like to include into that motion the painted crossways as recommended by the city engineer. That's fine.
Okay, and the second, Alderman Solomon is nodding in approval that he accepts the modified motion. Any further discussion? Seeing Alderman Schmidt?
I would just like to concur that this was the compromise that we agreed with. I probably discussed this about three times last week in meetings. So there has been discussion that in the future of hopefully the proposal that these sidewalks or trails would be extended at some point. But the main thing is to get moving on this to get the project started.
Right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. That was five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G5 is...
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G6.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Alderman Olson.
I note with a huge amount of sarcasm that there's probably $10,000 worth of staff time invested in $3,500 worth of manholes.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G7. Mr. Bennett.
I have a PowerPoint if you want to go through this briefly.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'm moving that we accept the, what's the motion here? Accept the proposal. I mean, I have two motions here, Madam Clerk. Motion to accept proposed five-year road improvement program from 2012 to 2016.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion on that? Alderman Olson and Alderman Rousseau.
I would think you two would have approved this because most of the work this next year is being done in your district. Thanks a lot. Jack, before you retire, this is going to switch around that everybody gets a little piece of the action because I got a whole bunch of subdivisions that need work.
I got two.
Thank you.
I got two.
Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilhelm.
My esteemed colleague to my left stole some of my thunder. I will note that in 2014, Putes Road is contemplated but not proposed as funding. And that disturbed me. But,
okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
I would like the maker of the motion to consider an amendment that would include addition of Marquette Avenue if that project can be negotiated for this year, as promised by the citizens two, three years ago.
Can that be a separate motion? I'd rather that be a standalone motion,
right.
That's okay.
Sure.
All right, motion on the floor has been seconded under discussion. Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. City Engineer, I just have a question for you. When this is done, you guys go out and decide on your own exactly where it's done. There's no pull from elected officials. You guys have a program established based on which roads are in worse shape. Is that correct?
No, we ask each other how they done, if they like to do the specifications and plans. No, we have a way of doing things, and we've been, I think, refining those over the last at least 40 years that I've been in the city. And I think we have a system that really gets the biggest bang for the buck. And most of these, we scarify the base course, what's out there, we recycle the asphalt. And on rural roads, we do raise them, which some people don't like too much. Real careful when we were doing 35th Street south of Rossford, and we didn't raise them where the areas were had problems with flooding. But I think it works out real well because we just keep building the base stronger on the rural road. Can't quite do that on urban streets. But we do recycle the asphalt. So, we will, I think this gives us authorization to go out for bid. So we would bid these and do pretty much our standard job on them. We will be putting left turn lanes in on 51st Street to kind of make the two-lane capacity last for as long as we can. I mean, I still think ultimately that will be a four-lane, but I'm not going to be around. Most of you won't be around because I think it's going to probably be 20 years or so before it has to go to four lanes. But, so anyway.
So the answer is that there's no arm twisting by elected officials. Is that correct? All right,
and very frank with you, we do these non-political. They're done. The state has a methodology that we have to use if we're going to get our local road aid, which is $75,000 every 2 years, and that's the Whistler program, which database is maintained in Madison, and we have to go through every 2 years and radar our streets. But the whole kind of idea behind that is to make staff and elected officials look at all the streets and not necessarily just do the streets where you get a lot of heat. I just want to mention 112th Street. We have talked to Waste Management. They are planning to borrow dirt soil on the east side of 112th Street, take it over to the other side, They don't anticipate doing that for 5 years. And I talked to them when they do that, I think they're going to have to put a concrete road in there because they would rip anything to pieces with the big turning posts running back and forth. So that's why we're recommending that. And 51st Street is well underway in design.
Thank you, Jack.
Good. Motion on the floor has been seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all those favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it.
Your Honor, I also have a motion to accept and authorize staff to advertise for proposed 2012 local stream phone program.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
I'm going to raise my hand for the next motion.
All, right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there another motion?
Motion to include within the motion to include the westerly extension of Marquette Avenue to 49th Street in the 2012 road program budget if negotiations can be completed as previously noted to the residents and motioned by the Common Council.
Second for discussion.
Under discussion.
Yep. And so it's my understanding if when we go out to bid, if it comes in under this 679 or six, whatever is projected,
right,
and there's money available, and this can get done.
And the city attorney can complete the negotiations at this.
Then I second it.
Alderman Solomon.
As long as the money is there in the road program, because $50,000 is not going to build that street, you're probably looking at $250,000 to $300,000.
As long as it's in that.
So,
right. It's not there. It's not there.
Like I said, it's not there now because it's projected in 2013.
So we've also, Ron, we also, was it 2 years ago that everything came under budget, Jack? We got a bunch of extra roads done. So we don't know exactly what the cost of asphalt is going to be, cost of labor. You look at the rank of the interceptor, it's supposed to be a $41 million project. What is it, $28
million? $18 million.
$18 million? Okay, so what we're saying is the motion gives flexibility and direction that if it comes in under budget and things get worked out, Alderman Wilhelm can get Marquette Avenue, which was adopted by this council, to get done. It just has not gotten done.
City Attorney.
Just for clarification, is this the extension that would proceed to the south?
I have a question for the city attorney. You have the local road program. There's $50,000 that made it through the 2012 budgets.
No, there's no money in the budget for 2012.
Okay.
Or if we have it in the five-year capital, we put it in for 2013. But there's no money in the budget. I did check with the financial officer before the budget was adopted this year if that money was available to carry over, and it wasn't. It was really stupid. Somehow, I don't know how to do that. But anyway, we put a placeholder in the five-year capital for 2013. You can delete a street that we have in this program and substitute Marquette Avenue. Marquette Avenue should not be in the street repayment program because that's for existing streets and this is a new street. So you're defeating your program of maintaining your streets if you take Marquette Avenue out. So you really need, and that's why we put that in just the capital expenditure program and not the road reconstruction program. So it wouldn't be a problem to do, but you're going to have to finance it.
Right. Well, it was actually my question to the city attorney, and I want to go a little bit further, because what I was going to say, Jack, is that there's a column that says project cost $50,000, but after that there's nothing there until it says city fund $50,000. Question is when you pass a budget, doesn't it require a two-thirds vote to amend the budget?
I don't see the role
Alderman Wilhelm.
I just want to make sure everyone understands that the bigger problem is negotiation with the property at first anyway, so we're not even looking at the funding until we get that done. That may not happen either, so it's...
We have a motion.
I just want to make sure that the constituents know that we are still thinking about their best interest.
The motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G8.
Table February
7th. Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G9, award for towing contract. Madam Clerk.
I'll make a motion to award the 2012-2015 towing contract to NMS Towing.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please. Oh, Alderman Olson.
Mr. Mayor, this meeting is moving entirely too fast. I have no interest in going home and watching a speech. So
Marquette's on at 7 o'clock on Time Warner.
Excuse me, I need you.
Not if it's not on the agenda.
Home against South Florida.
I'm sure if you ask the city clerk about how the election process is going, we could be here for a couple hours. All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Let's see, 10. So licenses, Alderman Solomon.
Budget, deny felony conviction. Gridley, approve with a letter. Nessman, approve.
Madam, it's been seconded. Under discussion, Madam Clerk. This is going on.
The action on budget, there was action taken at a previous meeting. So if you so choose, you can take no action because it's not a reconsideration. It's just he appeared for information.
Okay. No action needed on budget.
All right. Motion made, seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you a list of vouchers number 141348 through 141554. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The move is seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman
Schmidt. Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have the payroll of January 13th, 2012 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Your motion to adjourn.
No more.
Second. Is there a second? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.